Hey, this is your host, Cheryl Goss. Thank you for joining me on the Unforeseen Footprints podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of Unforeseen Footprints podcast. I'm your host, Cheryl Goss, and today I have Sean Hager with me, and I'm so excited.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
What's up? How you doing?
She's sitting across from the table from me, and she cracks me up. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this
podcast. Praise the Lord. We're going to cry. We're going to laugh. We're going to talk about Jesus.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about Jesus.
Come on with
Jesus. And so, I can't wait for y'all to get to know Sean. And so we're going to start. Sean, I just want you to share just a little bit who you are, what you do in life, what's your heart for ministry, that kind of thing. And then I want to share how we got sitting across this table.
My heart for ministry, let's just start there, is I want people to know Jesus like I do.
Absolutely.
He's incredibly real. He's incredibly personal. I am not ashamed to call him my husband, my best friend, because that's just how close we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want others to know. Yeah. That's the heart that he has given me for others to know him like he has allowed me to know him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the heart behind it all. Wherever we go, whatever we do, that's the heartbeat behind it all.
Yeah. An intimate relationship.
Intimate relationship.
Because I've seen it pour out of you. And so that's the word that comes to mind when I think about your relationship with the Lord. And so I think for me, that is a prayer for myself, is that I have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and not just knowing the word, but living the word and knowing him. And, you know, I've shared before, we can recite verses, but it's that relationship with the Lord that is so important.
He didn't get a hold of this heart until like 3.5 years ago, saved for 18.
Yeah.
But 3.5 years ago, I knew his stories. I knew I was saved and going to heaven, but I didn't know him.
Oh, yeah.
I had no intimate relationship with him
at
all until.
Yep.
Until I saw his face for the very first time.
Yeah.
And there ain't nothing like it.
I know.
Nothing like it.
And I'm excited you're going to share part of that story today. So tell me a little bit about what you do, because I've been at several events and I see your smiling face at every one of them. So tell me about that.
So the Lord has called me just to be a helper, especially with I Am His Ministries, just to help Angela out wherever needed, to be the prayer warrior, the help in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have ever thought that Sean Hager would love doing administrative work? And that never saw that coming. Never once saw that coming.
Yeah.
But man, when you do what the Lord has gifted you to do, there ain't nothing like it.
I know.
Nothing like it.
Yeah. I was sharing with someone this week that I was having coffee with, that there's just a peace that happens when I'm able to do ministry work, and when I'm able to sit across the table from women, when I'm able to share Jesus with women, and just see how he moves in women, there is a peace that comes over me, and it's like no other.
Yeah,
so.
Don't get me wrong. I love when he does things for me. But when I see him speak personally to somebody else or move mountains for somebody else, girl, that will send me over the edge.
Yes.
Big or small, it doesn't matter.
I know.
Like, I had a friend of mine, the Lord told her an answer. Her answer was no. And I'm trying not to smile, because who wants to be told no? But the fact that the King of Glory spoke so directly and said no, God spoke to her through the word and said no. He speaks.
Yep.
The God of creation talks to us in a personal way. Yes, no, or wait.
Yeah.
The fact that he talks to us is beyond me. It's beyond me.
It is me too. I remember when I first stepped into ministry, I had fought it for over a year. And he spoke to me through Hebrews 12:1. And he just, as soon as I said yes, he just started opening those doors. And so, been running ever since.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't you look back, girl. Don't you look back.
It's hard.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Don't
Absolutely.
You look back.
Absolutely. So I want to just throw this in here. You heard her speak of I'm His Ministries. And Angela Morgan, who's been a guest on here several times and who you'll hear in the future speaking, that is her ministry. It's called I Am His Ministries. And you can probably tell them where they can look that up. Or
We have a Facebook and I think it's Instagram page.
Okay.
But yeah,
just I Am His Ministries.
I Am His Ministries.
Yeah, yeah. They're doing some beautiful work for the Lord. They do a Bible study here in Decatur every Monday at a local coffee shop Monday night. And it's pretty exciting to see the next day just the pictures and the movement of the Lord and how He's using y'all to speak to, gosh, just different generations.
Multi-denominational. It's an 8-week study. Mm-hmm. The next one is January 22nd, I think, is when it starts.
Yes.
And we've had several, I think, as of date, it's 10 churches represented, multiple denominations, multiple age groups, multiple struggles. Yeah. We've had many come in who are not saved and say they're not saved, but they don't leave. They're our most faithful, which is so awesome.
Mm-hmm. They're searching, you know?
So yeah, we even had a practicing witch come in with the intention to curse us, and she ends up getting saved. So
stop.
I know. I mean, come on.
I've got holy chill bumps.
I mean, Jesus is moving in a powerful way.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's breaking down those traditions and religions and bringing the body
back together
as one.
Yeah. Is it Ephesians 5 where it talks about how believers, I mean, that is, they're supposed to be united.
Yeah.
And I love, and I brought that up because I've noticed in the pictures, I've noticed several faces and I'm like, oh, that's Methodist, that's Catholic, that's Baptist. And, you know,
Lutheran,
just,
unsaved, wandering.
Mm.
It's powerful.
That is powerful.
It's powerful.
That's exciting. Well, good. Well, we are going to dive in today to a topic that I see women struggling with, men and women struggling with, and we've received many and many prayer requests over the past several years for just identity, your identity in Christ and just who you are in Christ. And so I had the opportunity to meet Sean back in August. Mm-hmm. Was that August?
Yep.
We were preparing for a conference, an event, and we came together. It was probably 5 or 6 of us, maybe. Yep. And we came together a couple of days before the event to just have a time of prayer. And as soon as I met her, the Lord just stirred something in my heart and about her. I really didn't know her background. I didn't know much about her. And you're going to see a picture. I'm going to have to post a picture because she's got the most bubbly smile that will just light up a room. And so she lit up the room when she walked in. But we're in a circle praying, and the Lord just begins to prompt me to just pray specifically for her. And so during that prayer time, I was praying for Angela. And over the past several months, every time I've been with her, it's the same thing. The Lord has just laid on my heart, hey, she's got something more. She's got something more to give. She's got a story. And so I've just been praying over the past several months of, what does that look like? She doesn't really know me. is it going to be weird that I reach out and say, hey, I think you've got more? What's that look like for the Lord? And so finally, probably 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. I texted her and asked if we could chat. And the next morning, we spoke on the phone, and I shared with her what the Lord had laid on my heart. And here we are. Here we are sitting across the table because the story that the Lord has given her is one that is beautiful. It's restoration. It's transformation, and it's just the Lord at work.
Yes.
And I just sat in my office in tears that day because He is so good.
Yes, He is.
Our God is good, and He is all about healing and protecting His children. And so I'm excited that you're here. I'm excited that you're going to share your story and give God glory for it.
Yeah, He is.
Yeah.
He's going to get all the glory.
He's going to get all the glory, absolutely. So, okay, Sean, so start off. Just tell us a little bit about when you were saved, when you became a believer, and what that looked like.
Oh, my goodness. So when I was in, it was September 11th, 2005, is my birthday, if you want to call it that. Man, when the Lord found me, I was dabbling in witchcraft, was all about Satan worship, all that stuff. And He has been hounding me for years. I grew up in church. I knew the Bible forwards and backwards. And again, it just goes back to what we were saying before. You can know the stories and not know him at all.
Absolutely.
And but I was, that's part of my background, and we'll just leave that there. But also, I was a flaming homosexual, mm-hmm. and was in a relationship with another woman, actually engaged to that woman at the time, and wanted nothing to do with God and his church, because I thought he hated me. The mm-hmm. church made it known they don't accept homosexuals at all. Been on both sides of the fence now. And
so you had walked away from the church at this time?
Walked away from okay. the church to embrace what I wanted at that time. Mm. It's what I wanted, what I thought would make me happy. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, there were moments of happiness, but there was never joy. Mm-hmm. There was never joy. There was never peace. There was never a settling of mind. Anyway, so saved September 11th, 2005. Was able to walk away from darkness and witchcraft immediately. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff that was entangled in that. However, the label of being a homosexual, I never let go of. And I wrestled with it, was still in a relationship a few years into the being saved. But because I was now saved, the Holy Spirit taking residence within me, it was now extremely uncomfortable. My anger became out of control. Mm. I like to say I didn't have an anger problem. I had a wrath problem. I mm-hmm. skipped steps and went straight to wrath. Mm-hmm. I was very bitter, very jealous person, very envious person. Here I am saved. But because I refuse to let go of this lifestyle, there's now this war inside me that's never been there before. Mm. So after a very heated and almost physical altercation, I had to move out, had to move back home. Started seeking counseling for my anger, mm-hmm. and then tried to bury this lifestyle because yeah. I knew mm-hmm. 2 years into it, I've read my Bible now. I knew that the Lord didn't approve of this lifestyle, mm-hmm. but I wasn't willing to let it go. So let's just bury it.
Yep.
And then for the next couple of years, I taught Sunday school, did all the right things, trying to do what you're supposed to do, but still a very depressed woman, mm-hmm. still a very, I was struggling. Yeah. I was struggling. And then fast forward all the way up to February 14th, 2020. Mm-hmm. I find myself sitting in a mental hospital after a failed suicide attempt mm. because I was miserable. I couldn't have what I wanted. And I was just not happy. I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
And Jesus himself threw a smuggled Bible into my room. He met me there, and that's where our love story picks up. And I met the love of my life in a mental hospital, and I haven't been the same since.
Sean, you didn't share all this with me. This is new stuff.
No, I did not.
Wow. Okay. So when you were talking about burying the lifestyle,
yeah,
that hits me so hard because I think with you, I mean, it was these sexual mm-hmm. Tendencies and things like that. But I think that applies to all of us
right.
In some form or fashion.
Right.
And I've talked to several people over the past week of how we bottle things up.
Yep.
We bury it. We push it down so we don't have to deal with it.
Yep.
But sooner or later, it's coming up.
Yep.
It's going to come up and it's going to explode and it's going to be ugly,
yeah.
ugly. And so I love that you said you were just trying to bury that lifestyle and not actually deal
yep.
with it and not actually figure out next steps. And so 2020
February 14th, Valentine's Day. The holiday I hated the most.
Yes.
Jesus met me and became my Valentine
yeah.
that day.
Yeah.
He came after me in hot pursuit.
Mm, okay.
Hot pursuit.
So how did you get the Bible?
It was smuggled in. The nurse said we're not supposed to bring Bibles in here because they're not supposed to sway one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, somebody dropped one off for me.
Yeah.
And the nurse brought it in and said, do not tell them that I left this here for you.
Yeah.
And there it was.
All right. So what's the next steps? What's that look like?
So coming out of the mental hospital,
mm-hmm.
The Lord's bringing homosexuality back up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what drove me to want to kill myself because I'm just one most miserable.
Yeah.
And I'm just miserable. And so we got to deal with it. And so I was reading my Bible, and I was in Romans chapter 1, that dreaded chapter that just calls it out for what it is. And Romans is written to the church. It's not written to the world. It said to those who are believers in Rome, is written to the church.
Yeah.
And this is going on in the church. And he said, Sean, you cannot wear the name of Jesus Christ and homosexual. You just can't. And it wasn't a condemning thing. It was very kind. He was very gentle with me.
Yeah.
He said, I love you, but I hate this. I died for this. And you and I have got to deal with it. We have to. And so over a process of time, I met, that's where Angela and I's paths kind of crossed. And then a friend of mine, Samantha's, has crossed, and another friend, Becky. And I was telling them, hey, this is what I struggle with. They never condemned me, but they began to pray.
Yeah.
Pray prayers that I never dreamed people would pray for me. One of them was praying that I simply fall in love with the Word and get in the Word. And the more I got to know him, the closer and the drawing became, but there's still that battle inside.
Yeah.
And the first argument was, you made me this way. You made me this way.
Yeah.
So you need to fix it.
Yeah.
But soon, very soon afterwards, my prayers began to change. And then that's when everything rapidly began to change. My prayer went from fix this to I just want to know you.
Mm-hmm.
Once that shifted, next thing I know, Angela Morgan is doing a Bible study in her living room in the December of 2020. And then the moment she starts teaching about the temple and whose we are and what dwells inside us, he brings this right back up. This can't stay.
Yeah.
It's unholy. It has to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then week after week, he kept pushing and pushing and pushing. The next lesson was W, which is water. Let me wash this out.
Mm-hmm.
A is adorn. Let me adorn you with me, with myself.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we got to E, the pressure inside was too much. And I said, what do you want me to do then?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I want you to confess all the stuff that you're trying to bury to another. Because James 5:16, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess the other stuff, the stuff you are trying to bury. Yes, you've confessed that you struggle with this, but there are other things you want to take to your grave, and I'm asking you, confess it to another.
Yeah.
And poor old Angela, after class that day, it came out. And I'm telling you, Cheryl, this is, I'm not exaggerating. This isn't just some clever, flowery words, but the secrets that kept my head bound and facing down, I couldn't stand up. When I confessed what I confessed, it was like my head literally just snapped up, and I saw the face of my Savior for the first time. Now, I've been saved for 15 years at this point, but for the first time, I saw his face through the Word, and I haven't been the same since. He set me free from those chains. And then over and over, over the next year, just confirming it in his Word constantly, I have set you free.
Yeah.
You were bound to a lie. You thought these chains were still binding you. But when I saved you back in 2005, I saved you completely and wholly. You're the one who is holding on to this. You're the one who keeps pinning that label back on you. That's you, honey. Now let me wash that off.
Yeah. So John 13:8, this is where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
And there is when you said water and how he was washing you.
Come on.
This scripture, it says, Jesus replies to Peter, because Peter is saying, hey, don't just wash my feet, wash all of me.
Right.
You know, don't do that. And Jesus replies and says, unless I wash you, you won't belong to me. And then he goes on to say, a person who is bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. But he's saying, like, I need to wash you. I need to cleanse
you. Come
on. And that can only happen through Jesus Christ.
Come on.
And just like you sitting in Angela's room hearing about the water that cleanses you,
right.
He is washing that away.
Right.
It is only through him
that
we can be cleansed.
That's right.
There's nothing else.
There's nothing else.
Nothing else. Only he can cleanse us and make us clean.
That scripture reminds me of John 15:3, which says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he did that night.
That's exactly what he did.
He cleansed you. He washed out all those sins, washed you, cleansed you, and then filled you with the word, filled you with the spirit, filled you with the truth.
The truth will make you free.
Yeah.
That's what I love. I think it's in John 8. It doesn't say the word will set you free or the truth will set you free. Yeah. The truth will make you free. It's hands on. And I'm telling you, there is night and day, night and day. Even when I look at pictures of that girl just 3 years ago, I don't recognize her.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that is. She is dead and gone.
Yeah.
And man, have I met the love. Everything that I longed for, to be part of somebody, to be part of a family, or everything that I longed for, he fulfilled that desire.
Yeah.
With just him. Just him. The loneliness I was feeling, I don't got that no more. Mm-hmm. The love that I wanted, he gave me his love to love him back with. And there is nothing, nothing like Jesus.
And it shows, Sean. Praise the Lord. I mean, I said that earlier, and I'm not joking when I say that. Like, it shows. When y'all see her, when you meet her, Jesus oozes out of her. Like, it just, she opens her mouth, and her prayers, she's got such powerful prayers, and they're so sincere, and it's just moving to be around you.
That's all him. That ain't Sean.
Yeah.
I wish you could have seen her. I wish you knew me before. Yeah,
absolutely.
Because... yeah, this is Jesus. What you are seeing is all Jesus.
Yep. So I want to go back to this, and you kind of mentioned it, but you said, this was on the phone call that day, I was born this way. I want you to talk a little bit about that, because that has been so powerful, the way you describe that and how Jesus responded to you with that, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was one of the arguments I had. You know, I have never known, as far back as I can remembering anything, even as a little girl. And sometimes my parents will say, no, whatever. But as far as I was attracted to women. I don't know what triggered that, but I can never remember a time where I wasn't. So I was born this way. God, you did this. I'm putting the blame, just like Eve and Adam did back in the garden. I'm putting the blame right back at you. Did this. You created it. Right. That's the argument I have. So this, I can't be blamed for what you did. And in the heat of an argument with the Lord, I don't know why I argue with the Lord. Don't argue with the Lord, but I do. In John, I was reading in John chapter 3 when he's talking to Nicodemus, and he says, you must be born again. He's like, Sean, you were born into sin just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. This sin is not different than lying. This sin is not different than murder or anger or whatever list you want to give. He doesn't see sin worse here and not as bad here. Sin is sin to God. And that's why you needed to be born again, because you were born this way. You were born into sin. That's why you need to be born again.
Sean, that's powerful. You know, because I have many people in my life that are lesbian, that are gay, and you know, they ask my opinion on it, because I am a believer, and I'm going to share Jesus, and it's sin, and I'm going to love them. Like, I'm not turning my back. I'm going to love them right where they are, but I also want to take the opportunity to point them to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that was so powerful for me when you said that. Like, yeah, I was born this way, because we were sinful people. Yep. We were born sinful, each and every one of us. My sin's no different from your sin.
Exactly.
And so powerful words that you said, because I think that is what I hear a lot of I was just born this way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was the one arguing with you.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I was arguing with the Lord, for crying out loud.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you were born this way. Something else I want you to discuss a little bit is, you said, I want to break the illusion.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a minute.
So, like, I've already talked about it a little bit, but when the Lord confronted me, when I saved you completely. It's not in part as you go on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Lord brought me to this scripture today, as a matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Yeah.
And when he saved me, I'm trying to hold on to something he has already freed me from. Mm-hmm. These chains that I thought I had around me that felt just as heavy, because I'm believing into the lie that I'm still bound by this, by how I feel, how I think. This is how I filtered everything. Love, everything was filtered through this. And I was terrified to let it go. And then it was in June 5th of 2021. That's when he confronted the illusion. these chains that you think are bound to you, I broke those way back here. You are the one who's holding on to this illusion. Let go.
Yeah.
These chains are nothing but ash. Let me blow them away. Yeah. They do not belong to you anymore. You are the one who has convinced yourself that they're there. You are the new creature in Christ. Right. All things means all things have become new.
Well, I think we struggle with wrapping our own self up in those chains.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Because, I mean, one of the biggest things when I was walking through depression the past couple of years is everybody would say, just let it go, lay it down. Well, sure. Okay. All right. I surely will. But then I'd pick it right back up.
That's exactly right.
And at that point, I mean, I was questioning my walk. I was questioning my faith. I was questioning everything. And so giving it to God, like, I didn't know how to do that. And so, and I was not in a place where I wasn't hearing from him. So that's why I was like, Lord, like, what is going on? Like, why am I here? Why am I here? And I was carrying all the chains from all the labels I put on myself and everything that I had told myself that the enemy had told me about myself, I was carrying it all.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until last year sometime that he started refining and started breaking those and the weight of those just started, you know, falling off. And
praise
so
the Lord.
What's the song where it talks about hearing the chains hit the floor?
A friend of mine said that they were listening to that song and thought of me and called me. So the fact that you brought it up as a second witness, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Can you hear them chains rattling over there?
Yeah.
Come on, sister. Come on.
I love it.
That may be happening. I may have to stand up and shout. So if y'all hear a disturbance, that's what's happened.
Well, I have holy chill bumps just thinking about it because we put those labels, and that's one of the things that you've talked about is putting labels on ourselves.
And that's when the Lord taught me the difference between just letting it go and then surrender.
Yeah.
If I surrender something, that means I'm giving it to him. I'm not just putting it down where I can turn around, pick it right back up.
Yeah.
Here, you have it.
Yeah.
And we think about, well, I'm going to give the Lord my best, and we should, but he also wants the worst.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he wants us to be truthful about it. He knows.
Right.
He knows. We're not hiding it from him. Like, just be truthful about it. Just voice it. Yep. Just speak it. And that's where I stumbled. I could not voice, like, my frustration and my anger and my depression and all those things. Like, for some reason, I couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
Like, to him.
Yeah.
I could to my counselor, bless her heart. But, like, I couldn't to him for some reason. Mm. And I don't know what it was that was holding me in that. I would say probably the enemy. Was just holding me in that. In those lies.
Yeah.
And all right, so tell me, he released you from all that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
So what is that like?
Oh my goodness, it's you know, it's a whole new world. It's like that Aladdin song. It's a whole new world. And I mean, I now have a male type, and that was exciting. I remember one of my friends asked me when I told her, I said, he's done set me free. She's like, well, what's your type? I'm not sure. Male? I mean, I get stupid giddy. It's stupid giddy. It's like I am 41, but in puberty all over again. It is stupid giddy, whatever.
Oh, that's cute.
But there is, the whole world is different.
Yeah.
It's different. And it's because I'm in him.
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, yes, I may have a male type here on earth, but he is the love of my life.
That's
good. And I mean, he put a ring on it, literally.
Yeah.
I have a ring. I am his and he is mine.
Yeah.
My name changed. My whole identity changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's him and him alone.
So what would you tell the listeners for anybody that is listening that's struggling, that is in the midst of it? You know, I told you when you came in, I mean, just over the past several weeks, the conversations I've had that is just, you know, a culture. Culturally, it says that everything is okay, like it's okay to have those feelings and it's okay to do all these things. What would you say to the listeners right now?
If you are truly born again, you have to take the word over your thoughts, over your feelings, over what you see or perceive to be true, over your understanding. It has to be the word. He has to be truth because he is the truth, is he not?
Right.
But he has to be the truth, and it has to be his word over everything else, over everything else. And then, if you are a believer, ask the Lord to show you in his word as you meet with him every day, show me who you are. Mm-hmm. Just get to know him for who he is. He will handle everything else.
Right.
The more I got to know about him, the more things began to rattle, more things began to break. The more I was more willing I was to surrender what I thought was right, what I perceived as love, what I perceived as truth, the more I got to know him, he handled everything else. I just get to know him. Fall in love with the word. Just like my best friend prayed for me to fall in love with the word. That was her one prayer request for me.
Yeah.
Fall in love with the word. He will handle everything else. If you are not saved, you need to be born again. Otherwise, you are going to wrestle with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then this will send you to hell. Yeah. This and, well, just not knowing him.
Yep.
Period.
So what would you say about, I mean, do you have accountability partners now with this? Or
I set them up as a fail-safe.
Yeah.
Just in case, because we're women.
Sure.
And
sinful women.
Very sinful. I mean, it says in Jeremiah, my heart is desperately wicked.
Yeah.
Who can know it? And so I was afraid that this was an emotional high.
Sure.
But I was also taught, ask the Lord for a word. Anything you struggle with, ask the Lord for a specific word for that specific thing. So that when the enemy comes at you, or even your own stupid flesh, we give the enemy so much credit.
Yeah.
When it's our own stupid flesh, when it comes at you, you can stand on truth that he took this from you. And I know I shared this with you, but I asked for a word that day. I said, Lord, if this is truly you and you truly took this away from me, I am in your freedom. I need a word from you to stand on. Just so when these emotions die down, if something were to pop back up, I have your word to say, you have set me free. And I was reading in Luke chapter 13, and it's in the King James Bible. It is worded, and he, meaning Jesus, touched her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified the Lord. That's how personal our Jesus can be.
And that's how he speaks to us.
I mean, it is personal. It is personal. And I believe that word right there in the King James Bible was just for Sean Hager that day when I asked God, please tell me that you truly did this. Okay, look.
Here it is.
Okay.
Here's my word.
And here's the word. Here it is.
Here's the truth.
Yeah. Now stand on it.
Yeah.
And then I know I've shared this with you. It's one of those things where you kind of put it to the test a little bit.
Yeah.
And I found a picture of an ex-fiance of mine a couple months later, and for the first time in my life, it turned my stomach. I have never been so excited and rejoicing for wanting to vomit at what I was looking at.
Yeah.
You did this. Because before, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
But he literally changed how I see it now.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Sean, I think it is so bold of you to share your story, because it's not a topic that people want to talk about.
It's a hot topic subject.
On
both sides.
Yeah, it is. And but this is what I know, is that it's a topic that many people struggle with. Many married people struggle with.
Yeah.
Many claiming to be straight. Many teenagers struggle with. And so I told you on the phone that day, I asked Sean why she wasn't speaking, why she wasn't sharing this. And in her just obedience, she said, my time has not come yet.
Yeah.
And I love that. That shows such obedience in the Lord. But I told you that day, like, I really think that he is preparing just the field for you, so you can go and just share your story and share how he has transformed you, and he is preparing for you that time. And I just think about the lives that are going to be changed, the seeds that are going to be planted, the heart transformations, the heart pricks that are going to happen with you sharing how he saved you.
Yeah, he did.
Born again, like, he saved you and saved you from hell.
Yeah.
And how personal it was.
Yep.
And so it's so encouraging to hear. And I pray that more people have the boldness that you have, and the obedience that you have, to continue to walk and continue to share share your story. Because I know it's a hard story to story to share. So, thank you. Anything else you want to share with the listeners on, I don't know, maybe... Gosh, if they find themselves in that, like, what to do, like who to reach out to. I mean, I know some of the people that I'm dealing with right now are young, and they're just lost on knowing the church, you know, the stereotype of how the church feels about it, which it is sin, but we're still going to love them. Like, we're still going to love them, you know, and they don't want to turn to the church, and they don't want to tell their parents because of the shame that they have. And so, like, what, any advice on that?
This isn't what your flesh wants to hear, because your flesh is going to repel it. Get in the Word.
Yeah.
Fall in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
Fall in love with Him. Yeah. Get to know Him. Get to know Him in a personal way. Stop asking, fix this, bless this, yada, yada, yada. Just get, I want to know you.
Yeah.
I want to truly know who you are. And as you learn who He is and then whose you are, it's not what I am or who I am, but whose you are.
Yeah.
It changes everything.
Yeah.
Once you get a hold of that identity in Christ, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Amen.
So, and then I was reading right before we got here, this may not even answer that question. I don't know. We'll find out. But Revelation, I was in Revelation over here. Don't ask me how I got to Revelation. I'm not sure how we got to Revelation, but Revelation chapter 12.
Mm-hmm.
And words matter in Scripture. And it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." And it doesn't say they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimonies. It doesn't say that they overcame him by their words. It said by the word. And who is the word?
Jesus.
So if you turn around, read that scripture, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb," you've got to be saved. You have to be born again. And then, "and by Jesus, their testimony."
Yeah.
You've got to be in the word. You will not conquer anything if you haven't been born again by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word, you have to know him truly, not about him. I can know all about Abraham Lincoln. My knowledge can get bigger and bigger, about all the details, but I don't know him. Yeah. But once you know somebody, it changes everything.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
The word, honey. Fall in love with the word.
I love it. Fall in love with the word. Sean, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And I hope that you'll come back. I hope this didn't scar you too much.
No, the fear and trembling is settled.
Okay, good.
As soon as we start talking about Jesus, we good, girl.
Yeah, we had technical difficulties at first, and so it like made our wait time linger pretty long.
It gave me time to breathe.
Yeah, it did. It did. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you.
And keep growing in that relationship and keep Jesus. Sharing. Keep sharing. You got powerful testimony.
If he opens that door, that's what I love with Wanted. I get a chance to share my testimony at Wanted, and there have been multiple people I've been able to talk to who know people or have given out my number. Will you please talk? And they call. They call. Now, some of them ain't real happy with what I got to say, but I understand that argument too.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
So, it's bring it.
I love it.
Bring it.
Okay. We can do it. All right. Thank you so much, Sean.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners. And if you need any more information or if you would like to reach out to Sean, you can just get in touch with us through our website. It's connectingministries.org. You can email info@connectingministries.org, and we can get you in touch with her if you'd like to just talk to her personally. I said that. I didn't ask you that.
No, it's good.
I heard you say that, but I mean, I know it's real. I know the struggle is real for many people. And so thank you for being with us today, and we will see you next time.